Thank you to the baseball writers, all but one of you, who voted for me.
This is Exit 31 with Rain and Spencer.
Yeah, you, first question. Go ahead.
Was that a team decision?
Yeah, I'm not going to be answering any questions about
Rain and Spencer Davidson.
We'll be dealing internally. Over here.
Do you think we'll be seeing more of
Rain Stradamus and Nostra Davidson
teaming up?
I thought it played pretty well. We'll have to look at the tape on that and make a decision moving forward. Yeah.
You guys used to be...
Why shall I snopes it?
What happened with that?
All right, I'm done here.
Exit 31. 1-2-4 on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com.
We got a few conversations on Syracuse and Albany, and I suppose we'll clean up a few things that are left over, the remainder from the loss to Rutgers. Syracuse 1-1 as they take on an 0-2 Albany team on Saturday. And we get started today on Exit 31 on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. We'll get with you in there in a few minutes. Going to hear a little bit more from Dino Babers. You know, we focused on a lot of his post-game comments. We focused on a little bit of Dino's weekly press conference on Monday as far as some audio that we've shared in soundcheck. We'll focus on some of his thoughts on Albany, obviously, with that matchup up ahead. Nick Ells is in studio with us today, and I'm Rain Stradamus, and now Nostra Davidson. Are you saving that? You covered that with a sweatshirt for a reason.
No, I'm just cold.
You're chilly? We didn't go shopping together, did we? Did you see the Family Guy episode where Lois and Peter were wearing the same dress and they were like, one of us is going to have to change.
One of us is going to have to change.
And then ultimately, like Peter sat
unship
there.
Me.
Yeah, he sat there for a second like Lois was going to go change out of the dress. It was like, no, Peter, just go put on the white shirt and the green pants and let's move on with the episode. That's what it felt like when I saw you. The Spider-Man meme where they're pointing at each other.
Yeah.
We're wearing
We're wearing the same shirt, Nick.
Yeah, I don't like that. That's kind of creepy.
We didn't plan that. I just walked in and I'm like, all right.
Yeah, so we got the same shirt on today. That's awkward. Nick Ailes has a story to tell us in just a couple of minutes. We'll wave to you at QSportsTalk.com if you're consuming us that way. A lot to do today. Let me highlight the Accelerate Sports Complex phone line very quick before we jump into the Yankees winning. Phew. Mario Sacco, because it's Sportscaster Wednesday from News Channel 9 at about 2:15. Jason Fitz wasn't able to join us yesterday because he was screaming because he was out in Vegas for Monday Night Football. That's his team. I mean, he's a fanboy. That's his boyhood team. They're now in his hometown. So he rescheduled. We talked to him at the top hour, 2 or 3 o'clock today. Mark Larson in his usual slot, that segment at 3:15. He's with Spectrum Sports, if you don't know. And then our guy, Jacob Payne, who was doing some writing with Syracuse NSI, working with Mike McAllister, who we heard from yesterday. By the way, the Sportszilla show. I did it. I finally did it. I Sportszilla'd on Exit 31. I don't think I've done that yet. That was my first epic fail. The Exit 31 podcast is available wherever you get yours, by the way. If you want to hear Mike's appearance yesterday, some great analysis.
Who had September 15th.
Must be me.
In the Sportszilla poll.
Drinking game. The squares game. Oh, man, I can't believe I did that. Needless to say, Jacob Payne, who was writing for Syracuse NSI, then he interned with us. Now he's a part-time co-worker, does some producing work behind the scenes. He's going to hit us up on the phones at 3:30. I just thought he had some great analysis last year. And I want to continue that trend with him throughout the football season. Because you always, it's okay to put different sets of eyes and ears on things and get some different perspective. Would you agree or disagree? I set you up there. Yeah, you have to agree with that.
Yeah, no, I don't think you can disagree.
You have to agree, sir.
I think it would look pretty bad if I disagreed with that.
Otherwise, you're going in the kerfuffle, which we're getting to in a couple minutes. The Yankees won, Spencer. Phew, that's a couple in a row now. I think they're actually now back and technically, based on the loss, how many losses they have in the loss column, they technically are in the playoffs. Nick Ells is a baseball geek and guru. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I believe you are correct. I think they're tied with Toronto. And
they are.
I think yesterday they were 0.001% above Boston loss column.
I think Boston has one more win and one more loss because they've played a couple of more games. Hey, it'll all even out in the end. They'll end up playing the same number of games. Mike King... let's just say Garrett Cole was very deferential to him after he came in and relieved Garrett Cole, who struggled through five innings, but ultimately, I mean, they won 7-2. So how much of a struggle was that really for Garrett Cole? He picked up his 15th win, but he gave all credit, Nick Ells, to Michael King. That was a solid performance. Three innings, no hits, one walk, couple strikeouts, real good.
Yeah. How many pitchers would love to have a Garrett Cole struggle day?
Yeah,
I mean, when Garrett Cole's not having it, it's some pitcher's best career games. No, but Mike King, like we said, look at the numbers. As a starter this year, 24.2 inning pitched, 5.47 ERA. As a reliever, 1.82 ERA and almost the same amount of sample size. We found Mike King's niche as a multi-hitting reliever, and he's got good stuff and get through a couple times with the order.
Anytime we talk about the Yankees here on Exit 31, it's brought to you by William and Tar. You're hurting a car, you call William and Tar at 444-4444. I'm sure we'll sprinkle in some conversation on the Bronx Bombers. I'll let everybody know. Glue Guy will be back later on tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll give you Yankees on deck from Frohn & Son Funeral Home, Pathfinder Bank, and the Killebrew Saloon. That's a full hour pregame. Go ahead.
So every day, Rain, we put together something that we like to call screenies, where we take some screen captures of some things that we want to potentially talk about. And so what Nick was just reading was one of the screenies of, you know, the stats for Michael King. I noticed, man, how often do you check Twitter, Rain? Because
a lot.
Because you have a tweet that is screen captured that says 15 seconds ago it was posted. Yep. One that says 37 seconds ago. That was the one that Nick just read. 37 seconds ago. One 3 minutes ago. One minute ago.
Well, if I'm able to, I literally just go and I devour everything Yankees when the games are over. I'll have like the post game on in the background, and then I'm just there, and I have all of these different writers and reporters that cover the Yankees, and so you just get flooded with this information, and then I just sit there, you know, screenshot, and just grab this information really quickly, and then I throw it all together. If I'm able to do that, thank you.
It's impressive.
You're poor children.
It's 24/7. Why is that?
I mean, you don't spend any time with them. You're too busy screen crabbing.
No, this they crabbing. They're back in crabbing, school. Yeah. They're back in school. So bedtime's all earlier
right
now.
All right, I understand.
Otherwise, with my insomnia, I do it at like 2 a.m. You'll notice that it wouldn't be 15 seconds if school is in session. It's literally stuff that's I fair do in the middle.
I just
of
happened to notice that today, and I was impressed.
My poor sleep schedule.
There you go. That's
yeah,
more
that's
like
more
it.
Yeah.
We're in the midst of Nostradamus versus Rain Stradamus in Yankees first things we wanted to talk about, but then there's that wild and crazy Mets game. They end up losing 7-6 in 11, and that brings me to the once upon a time in Queens thing. Did you see any of that? I wanted to. I know we talked to him the other day, but I wanted to, and now I'm like, I'm going to have to watch it on demand when I'm not sleeping at 2 o'clock in the morning,
of course,
Nick.
Of course.
Yeah, and I didn't get a chance to view it yet. I have it DVR'd. I didn't get a chance to view it yet, but my uncle was talking about it last night. He's a Mets fan, and he said it was pretty good. He said, I didn't really need to watch it because I've seen so much 1986 stuff for the Mets, you know, just from being such a huge fan and watching videos and stuff, but said it was good. Those 30 for 30s are always great, though.
And, you know, since it's obvious I was on Twitter checking out Yankee stuff, I also happened to notice the feedback from it so far has been, you got to see the Lenny Dykstra interview. Apparently, it's riveting, whether you're a Mets fan or just a baseball fan, because y'all realize kind of what's happened to his life since his playing career. Mm-hmm. He went on and he moved on to the Phillies and everything else. Very interesting. It's a fascinating story. Lenny Dykstra's led a life. Let me tell you, I'll leave it at that. I read a little bit more, but for those that want to watch it, I don't want to drop the spoilers. So you don't have to worry about a spoiler alert right now. Exit 31 on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. We got to come up with a poll. We didn't have anything set today. Usually, sometimes they're literally off the top of our head. We'll get to that. We'll get with you in the chat in just a couple minutes. But for our Utica Rome listeners, 96.5 FM, something very interesting happened for Utica College women's soccer team. You're not getting name dropped a lot on the radio in Central New York, so tell them what they did.
Yeah, so Kayla Mochak for the Pioneers scored a goal from about 35 yards out, just bended a shot, top shelf. It was unbelievable, and she landed herself on number 2 in the SportsCenter top 10. Last night into this morning.
How many dudes right now all across Central New York listening, nodding their head going, yeah, I saw that. I saw that. You got
very cool.
You got to be psyched for something like that. Nick, tell us the Lewis Head story.
Yeah, I'm scrolling on Twitter looking for stuff to talk about today. I stumbled across this story. The Rays, Tampa Bay Rays, they have a reliever named Lewis Head, who made his MLB debut this year at age 31 and has put up a 2.67 ERA in 30 innings. Not bad, but he's been optioned and promoted a total of 21 times this season.
I'm going to ask you to repeat that number.
That'd be 21 times.
21 times on the shuttle up and down between AAA and Major League Baseball.
They're going to have to do a lot of
I understand
math. Sorry, go
no,
on.
No, finish.
No, they have to do a lot of math to figure out his prorated salary for how many times he's up and pitching in the majors and then back in the minors.
Yeah, whoever's ever in the accounting and payroll department. Jeez Louise. Yeah. But you get to the point where he's 31, you said?
31.
21 transactions at 31 after chasing the dream to get to the major leagues. You finally get there. I'm just thinking to myself, after I don't know, say 10 or 11 of them, do you go, is this worth it anymore? But he did. He persevered. That's amazing.
I mean, I'm exhausted between waking up and going to work.
Yeah.
And that guy is waking up and traveling back and forth and pitching in the majors, pitching in the minors, being around different teammates. It's got to be a whirlwind.
So if you're with us at QSportsTalk.com, let's get the first poll fired up. I've decided what it is. Did you see Once Upon a Time in Queens, and did you like it? Yes or no? I'm sure there's somebody out there that has seen that. Or are you going to watch it? How about that? You like that one better? I'm getting a nod in the studio. We'll go with that one.
Yeah.
Are you planning on watching Once Upon a Time in Queens just to see the Lenny Dykstra interview? Crazy, right? So NCAA officials are set to pass a one-year waiver next month. It's going to immediately expand the 25-man signing limit for football. And sources are telling Sports Illustrated and others that it's now news everywhere. But coaches can replace up to 7 players who leave for the portal. The maximum signing number would be 32. So it's, you know, the 25 normally, but they're going to add the 7 to that. So it's 32. It's a direct result of, like, for example, these super seniors. You're Josh Blacks, for example, and there's going to be the regular attrition of programs where your players come in and out and they leave. And then there's these guys that were granted the extra year of eligibility that took advantage of that. Tommy DeVito, whatever, and on and on and on. And they're still here and they're still in these programs. Well, a lot of them are going to leave too. So you're going to have a lot of players that you're going to have to replace. They almost had to do this. You almost could foresee this happening. And now it's going to be official. It will affect Syracuse and other programs.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a good move. Obviously schools are going to like that. You know, the transfer portal in across all different sports has become so prominent, and so many people are leaving. It's almost like free agency in college now. So to be able to replace, you know, 7 of those players, I mean, that's pretty valuable. I mean, think about it this way. You know, we talked, you know, a lot about the Syracuse women's basketball program and how many people left their program. Imagine if you could just replace, you know, more than half of those right away. How much, you know, a program could lose a lot and then set them back for a while. You now have these 7 extra people that you can replace. That's huge. That's big.
Spencer, it was no duh. Yeah. Like, no duh you had to do this. Nice shirt, by the way.
Thank you.
Nice shirt.
You're looking good, man.
If you're just joining us, QSportsTalk.com. If you subscribe for the month of September, you get a free t-shirt. And if you have an Amazon Prime account, it's really easy to subscribe for free with it. And, yep, that free t-shirt is there. So get that. A lot of people are subscribing. We've been seeing it happening in real time when we jump into that chat. Why don't we get to our kerfuffle here on Exit 31 and ESPN Radio? We got a couple minutes for that.
Who's got Twitter beef? Bulletin board material. We've got another Donnybrook and athletic brouhaha. Let's go toe-to-toe. It's the Exit 31 kerfuffle.
A classic conundrum.
I'm going to start an inner show.
Kerfuffle. What?
Jordan asked me, hey, can we get the voice guy to record some stuff for our show? And I said, no, we can't.
Exit 31.
Has the voice guy used for everything? The voice guy is 40 minutes of their show every day. They use the voice guy for everything, and we can't afford to pay him.
This is Exit 31. Here is Rain and WKTV Sports Director Spencer Davidson on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com.
Pauly Scabilli with 40 minutes ranting about us using 40 minutes of the voice guy.
It's just like, it's so salty. Every time I hear it, I'm like, come on, man. You want to go there?
Urban Meyer's going to take the USC job next year because it's going to suck for him this year.
Yeah.
He's in a terrible spot. Wait till I share some audio from Greeny about Urban Meyer and soundcheck in and around 2:30, interspersed with some Dino Babers previewing Albany. We'll get to that. I say he takes the job. I think he does.
Yeah.
Do they stopgap right now, get through this year?
Probably.
And then go to him. Does he go back to college? Does he want to go back to college? Is he going to stick it through with Jacksonville? Say he goes there.
Yeah. I wouldn't be 100% surprised if he stays in Jacksonville, but
you're backing off a little bit on
No, I'm not backing off.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he stays in Jacksonville, but I'm leaning towards, I believe that he wants to be back in college and get the USC job.
You kind of went in with me, then you backed off a little bit. What was ringing around in your head that made you pull back a little bit, and what can you foresee keeping him there if they actually win a few games?
Well,
what is it?
I think if they see some improvement throughout the year, obviously having Trevor Lawrence as your quarterback, depending on, you know, how he looks and how he's progressing throughout the year.
Okay.
I just think that, you know, obviously the NFL is the top of the top. You know, I mean, you get a job in the NFL, I just feel like, why would you want to backtrack. I know there are some
I think he's already had conversations, and he's planning on and pursuing that job at the end of the year.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Well, I mean, I don't know, though. I mean, Urban Meyer is in a very urban setting right now, so I don't know if he wants to leave that.
Yeah, I mean, how do you want to leave the pros?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
it's so totally different. You've got professional paid athletes. Well, now they can make money in college too with name, image, likeness, but it's just different.
But couldn't coaches make money off their name, image, and likeness before, though? I mean, this was just the student athletes, so it's no different for the coaches. I just think, you know, there are some lucrative jobs out there for college football, but you're in the NFL. Like, why technically backtrack a level? I just don't get it.
Kerfuffle number two on ESPN Radio and Exit 31. Yankees fans versus Glaber's defense. They're pulling him late in games now in the late innings for defensive purposes. They've already moved him for a couple of games back to second base where he's clearly more comfortable. I've said it since last year. I think he's bringing that to the batter's box, and he has not been the same at the plate. It's not even close. It's almost remarkable what has happened to him. I'll ask Nick Ells, who's in with us today, to give me a comment on that.
Yeah, you have to wonder if we're at a spot where the only way to fix him is to get him off the team. I mean, if you're looking out for Gleyber Torres' best interests, if he's so uncomfortable wherever he is on the field in New York, maybe New York is not the place to play for him.
Will you definitively say that the Yankees need to go that direction after this year? It's time to move on from Gleyber Torres.
I cannot definitively say anything because all I got to do is look at 2 years ago when he was one of the best second basemen in the league.
He's not 28, 29, 30. He's still only like 24 years old.
Yeah, so I don't know what you got to do, but it's something you got to consider.
Talk about a classic conundrum and a decision that you have to make. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't want to be Brian Cashman. Listen, it depends on the options that are out there, too, because how many are there really for them moving forward aside from Gio sliding over in that direction? I mean, that's just the way that I put it. We also got one more. Wait, you want two more, Spencer?
Yeah, let's go with a pair.
All right, two more. Twitter reality versus ratings. How about 800,000 watched the Manning cast of Monday Night Football? But it seemed like if you were watching trending, what was trending on Twitter, it seemed like 30 million people. It seemed like literally the entire viewing audience was watching that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that was so the conversation was so great on Twitter about that cast. I'm surprised it was only 800,000. Now, granted, that's not, you know, that's nothing to scoff at. But, you know, they got a lot of attention. And I think they're going to continue to get more and more viewers because I've only heard good things about that broadcast. I didn't get a chance to watch it. I had the TV on mute while I was working, so I didn't get to watch, unfortunately, but it's something I would totally check out.
Definitely a lot of fun. I'm going to move a piece of audio and last thing in our kerfuffle involving Aaron Rodgers to soundcheck at 2:30, so there's a little preview and a tease. That's because, all right, since you grabbed it, let's go. It's 437-7644 to dial Index 31 on ESPN Radio. Let's grab it quick because we're up against a break. What's on your mind? What's your name?
Rain, this is Matt Govendo.
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
I want to bring back the Dome Ranger. Let's get it going. Let's get the movement.
Yeah. We're bringing a DM Instagram conversation to the airwaves. All right, let's put it out there, Dome Ranger. Let's get that up as a poll in the chat at QSportsTalk.com. Let's see if we can get that discussed in there, see if we can find a willing participant. Matt, let's try to get that going. All right, man, appreciate you calling in. We're up against quick break on ESPN
I'm
Radio.
With it.
All right,
let's
back.
Go. Have a good one.
All right, you too, man. Right back with Mario Sacco from News Channel 9 on Sportscaster Wednesday.
This is Exit 31 with Rain and Spencer on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com.
Spencer, did you think that when you got up today that you'd be wearing the same shirt as I would and that we'd be asking Mario Sacco about his honey-do list and wallpaper?
I can honestly say that that never crossed my mind.
I understand that. I totally understand that. We're going to talk to him a little bit about some Syracuse football. We'll kind of look back a little bit on Rutgers, but we want to push ahead and move forward to Albany. We'll get there in just a minute. But Mario, listen, man, full disclosure, you and I have some laughs that are not suitable for radio via text over the past few days. Certain things we'll leave off of the air. There's certain things I suppose that it's okay we discuss. Hey, we can relate. We all get honey-do lists, right? And you're in the midst, you're in the midst of hell right now, aren't you?
This one's been a honey-do list since we moved into the house. Once you get into my house, there's floral wallpapering all the way up the steps and down the hallway that obviously we haven't touched since we moved in here. I've Every other bedroom has had wallpaper that I've taken down in it. It takes forever. I am the least handy person in the world. Like, if it becomes having a power tool or anything in my hands. So wallpapering I can actually do with a steamer, and thank God. But, yeah, let's just say it's taken a long, long time, and I have, like, maybe two walls done.
Oh, my goodness.
I do not envy you, sir.
We're going to be asking the same question next Wednesday on Sportscaster Wednesday here on Exit 31 on ESPN Radio. Yeah, Mario Sackwood, News Channel 9. He's also moonlighting as a post-game host, and you took care of Burdick Ford, Burdick Toyota, Burdick Lexus, Burdick BMW post-game after the Rutgers game, so I want you to revisit that for us a little bit. But I want you to add in your thoughts or what you may have learned over the past few days with Ben LaBrosse leaving the program.
We can start with that one. What I learned was, you know, he lost the job maybe and didn't like where he stood and wanted to move on. And I think SU's defense showed that they're pretty capable without him. So, you know, next man up mentality, so to say. The way that defense has played the first 2 weeks, they've been outstanding. And the secondary has been very good, except for one touchdown pass last week. Other than that, they've been pretty good. As far as what I took from the Rutgers game, everyone has touched on it all throughout the week. We got to have a quarterback, guys. And whatever it is, you got to decide on someone and get on the same pages, because your wide receivers aren't on the same page. You're not running the football when you should be running the football. It's just a big question mark when it comes to that offensive side. And we knew that coming into the year. And 2 weeks in, we're still having questions.
If that is why Ben LaBrosse left the program, boy, what a soft individual. If he lost the job and that's why he left and there wasn't anything else going on behind the scenes, my goodness, that would be something, I gotta say. But
I'm not there in practices, but I mean, he wasn't playing last week, so, you know, I can't think of anything else. If he just, you know, had personal reasons that he had to do it, then you know, good, I understand right. Those, but like you said, if it was because he lost the job, then yeah, that speaks more on, you know, himself than it does, you know, well, moving on.
It sounds like a tantrum my 6-year-old son would have anyway, Spencer.
Yeah, but my question was going to be the Syracuse women's basketball schedule is going to be released tonight. Obviously, it's going to be a tough season for the Orange on that front. The men's schedule is released tomorrow. You know, when they do these schedules reveals, not only for SU, but like for all different sports, I mean, is that something that you get excited about? They try to play it up on social media and everything, but to me, it's like, it doesn't mean that we're playing the games just yet. Like, I'm not excited until the games actually get here.
You want to see, we'll start with the women's side tonight. You want to see if a Louisville is coming, you know, to the Carrier Dome, and maybe we get to see Emily Ancler in the Dome. Notre Dame is always a nice crowd when the women play Notre Dame. You know, those are the teams that you want to see on the women's side coming to the Dome. And then, of course, on the men's side, you want to see, are we going to play Duke at home? Are we playing North Carolina at home? And when we can pencil those in, because let's be honest, once the end of October hits, you're looking forward to basketball season, and you're looking forward to those games inside the Dome, no matter if it be February 14th and a -2-degree weather trekking up to the Dome.
Mario Sacco is with us from News Channel 9. We are giving him a much-needed break from wallpapering his house. Get a little vent session out there. Let's return to the
down wallpaper. There would not be any more wallpaper going up in that house, Rain.
That's right. He's painting the walls after this. He's painting the walls.
Latex free paint. Is that what you're using? It's important.
I don't know. Whatever it is, it Sherman Williams is the kind we get, the HGTV kind.
Good.
He's gonna paint the walls in the house, and then the kids are gonna grow up enough, and pretty soon you'll have to clean crayon off of it and marker and things like that. So get ready. Buy a couple extra gallons. Keep it handy. You're going to need it. Let's look at Syracuse football again. Let's now move forward so we don't bury the lead in this Albany game. Greg Gattuso, the front seven is really the focus of this team from all of the scouting that I've done so far. They've got some speed. They're aggressive. They're going to move them around a little bit, and that would be the strength of this team. Although it's Albany, and I expect Syracuse should win this game convincingly. Otherwise, we really do have some problems. Because Ohio and Rutgers, I mean, you're not looking at the upper echelon of the ACC with these opponents.
Yeah, it's kind of neat, though, coming back and looking at Albany. They have a CBA kid that plays a decent amount, and Dan D'Amico, it was a stud at CBA and plays for Albany. I think he had 8 or 9 tackles last week against Rhode Island. So it's good to see, you know, guys like that. If you look up and down, that's what I look for when I see these teams coming to them. If there's any local kids and local ties to shoot them. But like you said, this is a game where you should win by, you know, 30 points at minimum. There's no reason you shouldn't. But it's also a game that I see, and those guys touched on it on Orange Nation yesterday. To me, I say throw Garrett Schrader out there,
yes,
but and let him see what he can do. But maybe you do play one. Tommy plays one half, and Garrett plays the other half, and you run the same exact offense. And, you know, see who's the best guy. As Coach Baber said, he wants the guy to win the job. Well, here's your chance. I know it's against Albany, but throw both of them out there, run your same stuff. And whoever the best guy, that's your starter for the whole game against Liberty.
The quote from Dino Spencer was, "Win the crowd, you win your freedom."
That was my question, by the way. Question leading into that. So, yeah.
Very nice.
I was texting Alex as I was trying to cut my grass.
I want to see someone win it on the field.
That's right.
And there you go, Spencer.
That's right. Yeah, Mario, you know, in speaking about, you know, wanting to get Schrader out there, just – you know, lackluster performance for the offense the last time out. Is there any hope that you have that this offense has any type of mettle this year to get anything really done? Or, you know, did you kind of see enough in that Rutgers game to kind of pump the brakes and be like, well, it doesn't really matter who's in quarterback. This offense is in trouble.
I thought at times they were fine those first two drives of the football game. SU was moving the ball. They were running the ball well. They were throwing, you know, quick slants and getting it out and running kind of a tempo offense. We saw Taj get into the action. The play that I think hurt them, obviously, was the Taj fumble that I wholeheartedly agree that was not a fumble. Mm-hmm. If you look at the video on my Twitter page. But the play that I think that hurt them when they were backed up inside their own, about 5-6 yard line, Harris had a ball down the sidelines that if would not have been taken to the house would have been probably about a 50-yard gain. And he dropped it down the sidelines. And, you know, the offense seemed to sputter from there. There's no excuse not giving Sean Tucker the football.
Agreed.
After his touchdown run. Even if you're down by 10 points, you got to find ways to give him the football. So I think having a healthy Dakota Davis back on the offensive line will provide a little bit of stability is the word I'm looking for if I learn how to talk. But if he comes back, maybe you can shore up that side of the football and you know, who knows? Your wide receivers and quarterback have to get on the same page because you can tell through the first 2 weeks they're not.
It seems like Tony White gets a thumbs up so far and Sterling Gilbert maybe not so much. Obviously, the head coach is Dino Babers. The last thing real quick with about a minute left that I want to ask you, Mario Sacco's with us on ESPN Radio and Exit 31. But the punt, that punt in Rutgers territory, I'm not quite sure why that happened. And I said this, and I'll put it right out there. Listen, Dino Babers forgot more football yesterday than I'll ever know in my entire life. Who am I to question the guy? But I'm going to question the guy because I think everybody was questioning the guy and that decision at that point. What's your observation?
Yeah, I mean, it's our job. Let's be honest. To bring up some questions. We're not head coaches. We're not Jim Boeheim that's been there for 45 years, 46 years. And, you know, I've had my run-ins with him about questions that I've asked. And, you know, he's the head coach, and Dino Babers is the head coach and makes the decisions. But quite frankly, I thought it was a poor one. You know, you're down by 10 points. You have the ball somewhat near midfield. This is the most sustained offense that you had. You got to try and go for it. If you had that much faith in your defense, you would have had faith in them that, you know, if you didn't get the first down, you would have been able to stop them and get the football back.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like this was a barn burner going on over here. This is a low-scoring football game. You would have had some opportunities, I would assume. Needless to say, we'll stop there. Mario, get back at it. All right, good luck peeling the rest of the wallpaper off the walls. I wish I had a way to help you out with that. I was told that there is a good, I think it was Kevin from Elpool, who's in the QSportsTalk.com chat. He said, Mr. Clean, go figure, has a product that takes crayon right off the walls when you get to that point.
they make these markers now that you put water in them and you just draw on the thing, and that's what we've been doing for instead of giving them crayons. So it's worked so far.
Okay, there's already a plan.
Good idea.
There's already a plan in place. Very good.
But Rain knows all about Mr. Clean. You look a little bit like Mr. Clean.
Yeah, you too, Mario. Thanks, Mario. And yes, I do. I resemble that remark. Soundcheck is next on ESPN Radio and Exit 31.
This is Exit 31 with Rain and WKTV Sports Director Spencer Davidson on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. Listen to this. Mic check. Okay? Good. Here's your sports sound check.
Well, we got some good stuff for you coming up here on Sound Check. One of the things that we have to talk about here on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com, bringing back the talk about Aaron Rodgers and his explanation for the interception that he threw on Sunday.
Yeah, I couldn't leave that hanging or dangling. I was combining hanging and dangling, and it came out hangling, which just happened right there. Yep. So, did you hear his explanation for this yet? It's been out there.
I have heard it, but you know what? Let's play it for the masses.
It is censored for the airwaves, but it's very funny.
I don't like to make a lot of excuses for interceptions. There's some ones you wish you had back. There's some ones that really aren't your fault. That one was entirely due to the double shot I took. Right before I'm throwing it, I took a left kind of clothesline, and somebody on the right, you know, with a right kind of cross, double shot. That was a painful one. They got their money's worth on that one.
He twice referenced something that rhymes with hut and made me laugh, but I thought he dropped the ball. He fumbled the ball, didn't throw an interception. He could have just implemented the catchphrase of discount double check into that. So he took one in the discount double check, and that's why he threw the interception. I would have laughed in the moment. That would have been good. You could have done a little bit better. Was it an excuse? Does he make excuses? He was terrible. They got annihilated. I mean, it was bad. After the offseason that he had, some people calling him a diva, some people saying Aaron Rodgers is totally in the right in this situation, he made it personal with the management of the Green Bay Packers. But I felt the whole time, I'm like, why are we talking about this all summer? Because here you are and you're playing again. And yes, you've rearranged everything and you're out after this year, and we understand that now. But is this season just going to go down the drain? And here's the other question. Respond to that, because I have another piece of audio that deals with that other question from a former teammate that I will air after. But respond first.
Well, I got to tell you, I think Aaron Rodgers had to discount double check something to make sure everything was still good after that hit. But no, I don't think that this year is going to be a loss at this point for the Packers. I don't think it's all downhill from here. I do think that they'll turn it around and improve. There are some people out there that are already starting the conspiracy theories that Aaron Rodgers is throwing the season and that he's, you know, doing this on purpose to make the Packers look bad. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. That only makes him look bad.
The only legitimate conspiracy theory for me is Jason Garrett, that is in year two as the offensive coordinator after being the head coach of the Cowboys, and he's sabotaging the Giants.
Could be.
Yeah, that's it. Continue, sir.
No, I was just saying, he only hurts himself in that scenario. He doesn't hurt the Packers as much. I mean, yeah, the Packers, you know, you don't want the Packers, if you're a fan, to do poorly, but it just makes Aaron Rodgers look like that diva that he's been, you know, made out to be.
Jameis Winston had 5 touchdowns, 38-3 to New Orleans. That is a terrible week one for Green Bay, because with him returning, you thought, listen, MVP last year, NFC championship game last year. Right now, you're looking at that going, I don't think so.
Yeah.
This is going to be an unceremonious exit from Green Bay. Here's JerMichael Finley, though, as we give you a sound check on Exit 31 on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. Former Packers tight end talking about Aaron's, listen to this, work ethic. Yikes.
That's the National Football League. Each offseason, you got to work like it's the last season. And I just don't see a work ethic in Aaron Rodgers that I have in previous years. And actually, you can see it right through his helmet. The eyes and the face tells everything of the personality. And I just don't see it, that NFL hunger and just feel hungry to go win another championship. I just think it's cliche and talk that guys get up there and say, I want to win a championship. Oh, it sounds good, but I want to see what you do on the field.
He's in a golf match earlier this year. You remember that? And yeah, you saw a lot of him, you know, vacationing and different things during the, I guess, the kerfuffle between him and the Packers. But you didn't see a lot of him taking care of football-related activities to be ready for the season, regardless if he was traded or, as he did, went back to Green Bay, he might be on to something. I mean, he didn't attack him personally, but he called out something that, yeah, based off that performance, he wasn't ready to play week one at all.
No. A lot of distractions. I mean, he spent way too much time growing his hair out for into a, you know, to be able to put up a man bun.
It's got a man bun. Yeah. It is a nice
man
bun.
That's what I think it is. I think he had to adjust the size of his helmet. It just threw things off. It felt weird. He could feel the bun in the middle of the helmet. First of all, that's got to go. That's got to go. He's not nearly as aerodynamic as he was. But it's just the decision-making. You're not used to seeing Aaron Rodgers look lost out there. And he looked lost. He did.
I think Trevor Lawrence has better hair. And
he does, yep.
Threw his first touchdown, and he's just getting his feet wet. A totally polar opposite end of the career, getting things started in Jacksonville. Now speculation is out there. Does Urban Meyer leave at the end of the year to go take the USC job? Ay, ay, ay. Well, Greeny, as we're in soundcheck here on ESPN Radio, was talking about how things couldn't be worse right now for Urban Meyer. Let's listen.
Trevor Lawrence threw three interceptions on Sunday. The Houston Texans defense had three interceptions all of last year. That defense is awful. Awful. They're supposed to be awful. And Jacksonville made them look like a Super Bowl candidate. And here's the only thought I have. If this was happening in any other NFL market, if a person whose profile is as high as Urban's and a quarterback like Trevor Lawrence, who people were anointing, and I think still are, as the next Andrew Luck, John Elway, etc., if everything had been going as badly, if this was happening in New York, in Chicago, and all these other places, people would be losing. This would be the number one story everywhere. Everywhere. I'm not hearing anything about it. No one's talking about it. And I think that's just the Jacksonville of it all. But that feels like one to keep a close eye on, because I'm not sure how much worse it could have started than it has started, going all the way back to when he first got there.
What if they're 0-10? Did they just part ways? And then that does open the door for him to go to USC if he wants to. It's bad there. They're going to be terrible this year.
Yeah.
They're going to suck. Suck on a level that hasn't, well, few teams have sucked, but they're going to suck.
Yeah. Well, they can't suck any more than they did last year. They just about sucked the worst that you could suck almost.
You mean they sucked enough to get the number one pick to take Trevor Lawrence to continue to suck?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what's happening in Jacksonville.
So, but you want to see improvement. I mean, you draft a guy who is considered to be, you know, the clear-cut generational type of talent, number one draft pick, and if you're going to go 1-16, 0-17, even 2-15 this year, that's not good enough. You got to see improvement.
Yeah, you got to see something. You've got to see something. We'll find out if we do. Real quick, let's close out soundcheck here on Exit 31 and ESPN Radio. And I want to kind of get you set up a little bit for Jacob Payne, as we're going to revisit the Syracuse-Albany, kind of preview that matchup this Saturday in hour number two, at around 3:30. But I just want to throw these couple of thoughts out there from Dino Babers. This is when he was asked about Albany as a tune-up.
Based off of how many points we scored last week, I'm not using the word tune-up with anybody. You have to find ways to put points on the board. You have to find ways to be sound in the special teams. You give games away, and that's not fair.
We're part of the peanut gallery that has made the blatant observation that the offense is not clicking, regardless of what you put up against Ohio and then followed up with Rutgers. Listen, there's a lot of issues offensively with Syracuse. And the standard of play of Albany, according to Dino Babers?
Based off of what their meeting looked like the other day, they don't care who they're playing. You know, they have a standard, and they're not going to lower their standard for anybody. So it'll be interesting to see how they do, because they seem like they're truly committed on that statement.
The team is together. Listen, they might talent-wise be Albany compared to Syracuse. I don't know how much that says, but they're going to bring it.
Yeah.
They're going to bring you a game. They're not going to quit. It's that simple. We'll pause right now. We'll come right back and give you a segment called You're Killing Me, Smalls. Something really crappy happening to 49ers running back Raheem Mostert, and we will get to that. Oh, and his wife, too. Enough of this kind of stuff. We'll tell you about it next on ESPN Radio.
You're Killing Me, Smalls. This is Exit 31. Here is Rain and WKTV Sports Director Spencer Davidson on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com.
You're Killing Me, Smalls.
Boy, there is a pun in this segment of Exit 31. Spencer, how'd you feel if I told you you should kill yourself? because you were injured and have to have a surgery in order to return to play the game you loved at the level that you dreamt about when you were a little boy. How'd you feel about that? How would you feel about that?
Yeah, that would be pretty terrible. I would probably not appreciate that very much.
If you were married, mm-hmm. how would your wife feel if she was being told your husband should kill himself?
I'm going to guess probably pretty crappy about that.
So what do you think of the fan base of the 49ers who are saying that to Raheem Mostert, who opted to have some surgery, and he's going to be out for the season? There's not much he can do about this, right? If it's declared that you need surgery, probably got to have the surgery. And he says, I'm coming back and I'll be better than ever. This isn't the end of my playing career, believe me. But it's pretty horrible. He's got some chips in the cartilage, so out 8 weeks has turned into probably the rest of the season. His wife's name is Devin, and she said, you know what? Could you please stop? He's expected to miss 8 weeks, but with a knee surgery in the NFL, we all understand. I mean, look at Odell Beckham Jr. He's out again.
He's out again, yeah.
Saquon on a short week, only got 10 carries for the Giants. We've seen what this happens. Not everybody returns in 8 or 9 months from an injury like this. It's a devastating injury. But this is a horrible, horrible response to it by the 49ers fan base.
It's just, what kind of terrible human being do you have to be to legitimately put the effort into reaching out to somebody and telling them that you or your significant other or somebody in your family should kill themselves? First of all, just to say should kill themselves. But then, even further, to say kill yourself because you got injured. It's not like Raheem Mostert did anything to upset the fan base, to personally attack, people in the fan base.
This isn't even performance on the field based where you're just angry that he didn't play well. Right. And even then, that's not the appropriate response to bad play.
But it's just like, what is wrong with you? And again, these people, in her post on social media, she said, look, this is my husband's job. This is what he does so that we can eat. Like, there are more important things.
You've heard me do it here on Exit 31 on ESPN Radio. Nick Ells is in studio with us today. Nick, you've heard me rant about on Yankees on Deck, which returns at 6 o'clock tonight, by the way. Once again, shameless plug. You've heard me select throughout the course of the season certain players, and I, let's just say, go off a little bit. That does improve their performance, at least in the immediate future.
Yeah.
But have I ever once wished them death? On a human level, I want them to thrive and succeed in life. Yeah. It's just based on performance that I'm unhappy with on the athletic field. And we'll leave it at that. This is crossing a whole nother line. You are not entitled because of your fandom to say things like that. And with social media and the fingers behind a keyboard, once again, this conversation, are we still having it? Do we still have to have it with people that you can't separate your life and your sports? Colin Cowherd, I'll reference him again. You love your life. You like your sports. This is just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. I just don't understand. There are so many things that people do that I'm like, I would never waste my, first of all, never waste my time or energy to reach out to an athlete just to like,
yeah, is that the first thing you think of?
Frustration with either their performance or their electing to have surgery. I would never reach out to an athlete, let alone to reach out to an athlete to tell them to kill themselves.
I want Andrew Haney off of the Yankees roster. I'm not going to seek him out on social media and send him nasty messages wishing his life to be over or attack him personally in any way, shape, or form.
What kind of garbage human being do you have to be to do that?
Well, I think the question has its own obvious answer. Nick Ells, I never let you respond. What are your thoughts on this discussion?
I mean, I think something we haven't even talked about is that I first saw this. It's not even just 49ers fans. It's fantasy owners. So for a game that doesn't even matter in the long run, you're calling people out saying that they have to die because they're not getting you points anymore in a game that means pretty much nothing in your life.
Screwed up your fantasy football. Wow, amazing. You know what they get, Nick Ells? I'm going to play him this right here, right now.
You're killing me, Smalls.
We'll take a quick break on Exit 31 on ESPN Radio. We're with you at QSportsTalk.com, and we will have a discussion with Jason Fitz from Spain and Fitz next.
This is Exit 31.
In about an hour, I'm going to f*** away 20 grand.
What, are you going to bet on the Knicks? I'm sorry. I mean, how often? I mean, oh, man, nobody thinks that's funny?
Exit 31 with Rain and Spencer on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com.
Nick Ailes, you are a jinx.
I'm cursed.
I'm cursed. How did every time Nick Ailes is in here with us, which isn't often, obviously, it's usually the glue guy, but glue guy was out collecting what you'll see at QSportsTalk.com, those two awards, New York State Broadcasters Association, Excellence in Broadcasting. We were known as Sportszilla then. I can say it
you
in this
can
context,
say it
right?
Here. I'll let it slide.
Now Exit 31 on ESPN Radio, but we did win two awards. We set it for the chat and everybody that's with us at QSportsTalk.com, but here on the airwaves, let's also recognize Orange Nation, Pauly Scabilia, Steve Infante. And there are some others that rotate in through there as guest hosts. You see Almanines, Mario's in there, and others that make sure that show hums along. They got theirs, too, and congratulations. Well-deserved, for sure. We got to stand up for the home team. Now, Brent didn't get one on the block, and I'm not even saying this to bust on him. He deserves one every year, as he's been sitting on the throne in afternoons in Sports Talk Radio for 20-something years now. So that was an egregious blunder on their part. I will even say that. I'm grateful for the awards, but I think Brent should get something every year. That goes without saying. I'll stand up for the guy. But that being said, Nick, what did you do?
I don't know. I mean, I went to call Jason and I cursed us.
Where is Jason Fitz?
I don't know. I wish I could tell you.
I have a text exchange where he was like, all good to go. And then because you and your fingers dialed.
It's me. I mean, we are beyond a coincidence at this rate.
He's at the game. He's from Vegas. It's his Raiders, his boyhood team. He's there. He's all over social media. He's loving life. He gets that walk-off win, right? And so I text him and I'm like, are we good to go for Tuesday? And he's like, yeah, we are. Or you know what? Let me just see what happens. He texts me back because I don't know about my voice. Got to do radio tomorrow and get set up. So then I correspond with him again yesterday. He says, yeah, I can definitely do today. I said, how about 3 o'clock? Can we move it to 3 o'clock? He goes, yep, that's perfect. Easy as pie was it's
wow.
Easy as pie was his response. I gave him a heads up. And then, I don't know, something about your mojo.
He must have started listening and realized, I must have beef with Jason. I don't even know about it. Yeah. I'm going to have a kerfuffle.
Yeah, what's our kerfuffle?
It's me versus Jason.
Can we bring back the kerfuffle, too? There's a beef with you and Rick Beardsley, too.
There's no beef.
Our guy Rick Beardsley.
There's no beef. I'm just terrified.
Well, what happened? Well, what was that story? I forget what happened.
I was filling in for Matt, a year ago, somewhere around then. Rick Beardsley was on. I did not know Rick Beardsley. I probably should have, so that one's on me. So I asked Rain a simple question. I said, is Rick Beardsley a coach? So I could say, when I called him up, hey, coach, how you doing? Rick Beardsley is listening to the Twitch camp. So I call up Rick Beardsley, and he just chews me out. Well-deserved, because I didn't know who he was.
Wow.
But now I am just terrified of Rick Beardsley. So
You should have been anyway.
I should be, but now I'm more so. So right. If I'm coming in studio and Rick Beardsley on the show map, I'm out.
Yeah,
I'm walking out.
He visibly, like, his hands start to shake. He's terrified of him.
Like, I'm getting nervous just thinking about it.
Wow.
I think that he would kind of play you a little bit, where he'd kind of stay in like WWE character, make sure that you were scared bleepless, and then ultimately after the fact go, ah, gotcha. I think you'd get one of those from Rick Beardsley.
Or like hit me with a steel chair.
You know what? I vote
did
for
he not
that.
Do that?
I vote for that because you screwed up getting Jason Fitz on the phone with us here.
I'm sorry.
On X 31 on ESPN Radio. Okay, well, listen, we're prepared to conduct the interview without Jason Fitz. We'll just discuss some of the talking points that we had for him. Let's go back. Nostra Davidson, Rain Stradamus. Maybe a little Rain mansplaining in this as well.
Please, no.
So we wanted his non-biased, non-Homer Cuse take. We've been through that, and we're going to revisit that with Mark Larson in a couple minutes and Jacob Payne on the Accelerate Sports Complex phone lines. So we'll scratch that one off. But how about the Raiders and the way they went about winning that game, almost losing that game, almost winning that game, almost losing that game, and ultimately winning that game on Monday Night Football? Turned out to be really one of the better Monday Night Football games I've seen in a while.
It really was. It was awesome. A great way to start out the season on Monday Night Football. I like the fact that they're only doing one game on Monday Night Football now instead of that doubleheader. Monday Night Football should be one premier game. But, you know, it's unbelievable because it's like the Raiders, you know, think they won, like you said. And then not only does that get called back, but then they turn the ball over in the end zone with an interception. And then it's like, oh, my God, the Ravens are actually going to win this one. And then Lamar Jackson fumbles it. And the Raiders have new life. It's just what a roller coaster. What a wild finish. And being that I don't have any vested interest in either team, it was highly enjoyable.
It ended up being, yeah, I was on the edge of my seat, so to speak, literally on the edge of my couch watching this going, oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. And then I remember sitting and I'm thinking of Jason Fitz and I'm like, we're going to be talking to him. Supposed to be talking to him, Nick Ailes. We're not talking to him because Nick Ailes. But then I'm like, I cannot wait to ask him about that. Yep. Boyhood team, favorite team, moving to Vegas, waited an extra year to get fans in their new stadium in Vegas to win that game under those circumstances. I'm like, he's got to be little boy Jason Fitz again, just feeling it. Raider Nation was loving it. SVP, after the fact, how many times do you hear the Berman call of the Raiders as he spiked that soundbite in?
Yeah.
But you were just feeling it for Raider Nation. Yes, I'll excuse the haircut of Mark Davis, Al Davis' son, and that weird-looking suit that he was wearing. But you kind of felt happy for him. That's how you want your opener in your new stadium, albeit delayed, to go in front of your fan base. I mean, Los Angeles, Oakland, Los Angeles, Oakland, Vegas. Holy cow. It's tough to be a fan of the Raiders and then the performance on the field over the past how many years now?
Yeah, well, you know, every year, the last few years, you know, with Derek Carr, it seems like they have some promise. Oh, we're going to be good this year. Then you're not. And then it's always a disappointment. And then the team moves from Oakland to Las Vegas. And so it was a good moment for Raiders fans this weekend. I wasn't happy with it simply because I said that the Ravens were going to win. I thought the Ravens were going to win. I thought Lamar Jackson was going to have a big game. So I wasn't like happy with it at first. I loved the way it finished. So I was satisfied with how, you know, down to the wire and the back and forth and just how crazy it was. So I'm not going to complain. I'm just saying that I was rooting very slightly for the Ravens simply because that was my pick in the game. I didn't have any money riding on it, though, so it didn't matter to me that much.
Did it affect your fantasy team?
No.
Okay, did anybody shout out at you on social media like they did to Raheem Mostert and his wife?
Not that I'm aware of.
All right, good. Then we can move on. No harm, no foul there. Exit 31, ESPN Radio, QSportsTalk.com. Nostradamus versus Rain Stradamus. Because of Nick Ailes, we couldn't get Jason Fitz on the phone. But we're still discussing that same
content.
You're
never going to live that down.
Listen, I wanted to bring him into the conversation. You know, the NFL week number two gets started tomorrow. And it's my Giants games right here on ESPN Radio, by the way, at the Washington football team, who lost Fitzmagic for an extended period of time. Their defense, you believed in it going into the season. Offensively, you knew Fitzmagic lasts about 4 weeks. Well, we got that cut short. So what do we expect there? But then on the flip side of that, you still have the Daniel Jones issue. He still did some Daniel Jones things. We had Jordan Renan tell us yesterday, no, other than that mistake and, you know, the fumble, and sometimes he doesn't secure the ball, there's a lot of promise there, which brings us to Trent Dilfer. Spencer, you brought this to my attention, and I got all excited when I heard about this. Tell everybody what Trent Dilfer said about my quarterback, Daniel Jones.
Yeah, Trent Dilfer said, I think this is probably a next year thing. You'll see flashes of it this year, but when he does, he's going to be one of the better players in the NFL. And he actually went as far as to adding one of those great quarterbacks in the NFL. Interesting.
I don't know. I don't know. That's my guy. I don't know. I don't believe
that. Does he have the tools to be a talented quarterback? Yes. Do I think he's going to be one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL? No.
Should he have been drafted at sixth?
No.
I don't know. Did he have the same skill set and tools, though, coming out of Duke? Yeah, he has. He's been able to make all of the throws. He has the ability to move out of the pocket. He's got size. He can actually run. We've seen over his own 2 feet.
I was going to say he can run for about 60 yards and then...
But it just keeps coming back to the 40 takeaways or giveaways in two seasons and a game. 40 of them already. It's a concern. And because you saw it immediately again in the first game of the season, and it absolutely stalled any further momentum they had in that game against Teddy Two Gloves in Denver, that it's still a problem.
Yeah.
You have to go a stretch 3-4. Listen, you're going to fumble the ball sometimes. Okay, you're going to throw an interception. That's part of the game. But he's got to go 2, 3, 4, 5 games and really minimize mistakes. A deflection off a receiver's hands, and that's an interception. Okay, you live with that.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah.
Throwing it directly to the other team, that's a whole other story. Not being able to hold on to the football or just drop down. Don't put yourself in the position to take the hit or learn how to angle your body differently so guys aren't punching the ball out of your hands, which is what happened to him, and eliminate some of these problems. Show that you're cleaning up the mess a little bit, and then you'll buy some equity with the fan base in general. Right, wrong, indifferent. Or is this just who he is?
This is who he is, I think.
Why do you have to say that?
This is who he is, Rain.
I don't
want
to hear
this. This is who he is. The decision making is not great. He's very careless with the ball. I
want to tell you you're wrong, but I can't.
But like is he gonna have stretches where he looks very good? Yes. Is there going to be, in my mind at least, a consistent Daniel Jones where he is not occasionally great, but consistently good? I don't think so.
Heineken, Taylor, quarterback, Washington, 11 of 15 when he came in for Fitzmagic. Not awful. See what he does. Young. Defense is pretty good for the Giants. I can give him that. Interesting game. Low scoring. That's what I think. We'll stop there. ESPN Radio, Exit 31, QSportsTalk.com. We're back with Spectrum Sports' Mark Larson on the phones next.
This is Exit 31.
And what a beautiful day for the sport of Kings, of which I am a huge fan. Seriously, I'm just a fan. I was on my way to my seat. The door was open.
Hey, what are you doing? No.
Exit 31 with Rain and Spencer on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com.
Just dawned on me, Spencer, that's not entirely accurate, our rejoin back onto the radio airwaves, because you're technically a sportscaster. Like, you have some credibility.
I don't know about
that. Although we won those two awards before here, buddy.
Yeah, I don't know about that, the credibility part of it. I mean, you know, I guess wishful thinking on my part.
Nick Ells is in here with us in Replace a Glue Guy today on the ones and twos. We're with you at QSportsTalk.com. A lot of chatter about those two awards he picked up from the New York State Broadcasters Luncheon earlier. We are very grateful for those. Now known as Exit 31, formerly Sportzilla. That's what we were called when we won those. But now we're bringing in, listen, you want to talk about excellence in broadcasting. I saw your season preview with Kate Calloway for Syracuse football, Mark, and it was outstanding.
Attaboy.
I think I text you, and I enjoyed every second of it. You guys did a great job together. We'll talk some Cuse football in a second, but I have to start out with food, because I think we've neglected to go there with you the past couple of times we've had you on. We weren't able to connect with all the moving parts of you being in Cooperstown for the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. So talk to us about food. I know this is your favorite subject that we bring onto the airwaves.
Gosh, you know, you hit me right off the bat. Let's see. I was trying to think, there was something that really struck me recently, and I think it was this, but it might have been something else. But I'm just going to tell you about this, because we all love the waffle cone, right? I mean, you go get ice cream and you get it in a waffle cone. That's kind of a given, especially if they're like freshly made.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was down at the ice cream stand downtown Syracuse a couple weeks ago, and they were all out of waffle cones, the normal kind, but all they had left were the chocolate waffle cones. So I thought, wait a minute, not the chocolate dipped. They're actually like chocolate in the batter, so they're a little bit darker brown. And let me tell you, I don't know why they wouldn't run out of those before the other ones. Like, it took waffle cone to a whole different level for me. So if you're ever at an ice cream stand, I don't know how many other places have this, and they ask you for what kind of cone, you try to get the chocolate waffle cone. If they have one of those, not the dipped one, not the dipped chocolate, I'm talking about just chocolate in the batter waffle cone. It's a game changer.
Well, Mark Larson with Spectrum Sports experienced something called serendipity, didn't he? He absolutely did. With us here at Exit 31 on ESPN Radio, we took our dog out late last night. It was close to 9 o'clock. We went and got him a pup cup because it was his adoption day. One of our three dogs. So we did that. They put a little peanut butter in it. They can't have chocolate. You can't give chocolate to dogs. I don't know if you know that.
Right.
Don't give chocolate or grapes to your dogs. All right, take us back to Cooperstown. You were there. Spencer was there. We've heard from Spencer. We want to hear from you, your observations, the things that are sticking in your memory.
Well, you know, I'm not a baseball fan. I'll just say that right off the bat. I think we've established that already. But there is something cool about, I loved when all the Hall of Famers who were there came out before the inductions began. So now you're getting a look at some of these guys like Dennis Eckersley. And of course, for me, Robin Yount and Paul Molitor, like when they came out, I know you're not supposed to clap as a media guy, but like these were my guys back in the day. And again, I'm not a huge baseball fan, but those were guys that I was a fan of just because of the way they played. And, you know, the old cliche, they played it the right way and they just were never in any trouble and just, you know, stand up guys and, you know, Molitor, Yount, and Gantner in that Brewers infield back in the early 80s was just good as it gets. Cecil Cooper at first base, good as it gets. Robin out in the outfield, we played short first and then moved out to the outfield and Molitor at third. So, yeah, that was kind of cool. And obviously to see Jeter, I mean, that was cool. I don't know if Spencer, I'm sure he mentioned this too, but the guy who kind of tried to steal the show was a guy speaking for Marvin Miller, Donald Fear. And at one point, the crowd started cheering Derek Jeter to him because he was just taking so much time. Yeah. So that's why Jeter was so late, because of this guy. And so anyway, it's great to see Jeter get up there finally and make it short and sweet. And yeah, kind of a cool day. And it turned out to be a great day. And it started raining almost as soon as we got in our car. So it timed out perfectly.
Yeah, I got to say, well, it started raining when I was going live during the 5 o'clock news. So that was a lot of fun.
The
timing was perfect. But yeah, I mean, for our purposes too, having to get stuff on the air, I mean, Donald Fear just was a killer, you know, making it get a little bit too close for comfort. But, you know, Fear is not going to be your answer for this. But who was your favorite speech? What did you think of the speeches while you were out there?
Yeah, it was definitely Larry Walker. I don't know about you, but he was funny. He was he seemed very comfortable. I mean, he had some great anecdotes. The one where he said where he took off from first base on a fly ball and he rounded second going to third and the coach told him he had to get back and he cut across the infield right behind the pitcher's mound. And
yep.
So obviously he can't do that. And he was out. So, yeah, I thought Larry was great. And of course he also threw the Utica Blue Sox mention out there. So I'm sure folks around here love that.
Yeah. Well, that was where that story came from when he was playing in Utica. So it was kind of double whammy there. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And he had SpongeBob on his lapel.
He's the man. He's the man.
Yeah.
Mark Larson with Spectrum Sports here on Exit 31. It's ESPN Radio at QSportsTalk.com. All right, Q's observations as we bridge the gap from Rutgers to Albany this weekend. The conversation has been had so many times, Mark, as we've laid out for everybody. What do you want us to take away from that Rutgers game and transition us towards Albany and maybe what we can expect there?
Yeah, I mean, I think the defense is pretty legit, as we've seen in the first two games. You know, they didn't give up a touchdown in the first six quarters and only gave one up in the seventh quarter of the season because Dino kind of and I don't think he deserved that call, that the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty when his counterpart on the other sideline was going nuts throughout the game. But anyway, I don't want to get into that. I think the defense is really good. I'm still not sure which quarterback I like better. I still want to see a lot more of Garrett Schrader, and I don't know how much we're going to learn this week. But when he tried to throw that chest pass to stop the clock because he knew they were out of timeouts, I mean, for a guy that hasn't played much at all in the last, almost 2 years, for him to get in there in his third series and be – cognizant enough at that moment where he dropped the football, he picks it up, he's going down. So that's good. He didn't lose possession. And now he's also thinking, I got to stop the clock. So he tried to throw the chest pass and they went back and looked at it and he was down. But I thought that was a remarkably heady play for a guy who hasn't played much. So really interested to see a lot more of him. And somebody brought up to me, Mario actually brought up to me yesterday when we were playing golf. And I don't know if that came up yet, but anyway, he wondered if Schrader's going to start Saturday. And I thought, you know what? Maybe he will.
He brought that up to us earlier today. I was not made aware of a Sportszilla Open golf match. Who won?
Yeah, it wasn't really because it was only nine holes.
Okay.
But I want to tell you, I've been slumping the entire month of September, but something about Mario brings out the best in me. So, I beat him again. And the worst part of the day was he found a Pro-V, a brand-new Pro-V, Titleist number 20. So we were calling it the Deuce Chestnut Ball, and he kept it for a few holes, and then his driver was amazing the first few holes and the last hole we played. But this particular hole, he drove it right into the weeds, and we never found it. So the Deuce Chestnut Ball got picked off. So
that was a real shame.
That
stinks. We don't need those turnovers. So as far as Albany's concerned, Mark Larson with Spectrum Sports here with us on ESPN Radio and Exit 31,
what is a comfortable margin of victory for you? I mean, I think I even Mario was like, you got to beat him by 30 earlier. But to think that maybe there's some progress being made offensively, because after Albany, you get into Liberty, and then you got, I guess, a beatable Florida State because they lost to Jacksonville State, but then it's on in the gauntlet of the ACC and the competition, yep. The levels steps up. Even though the ACC's down a little bit through the first couple of weeks, Mark, what is the comfortable margin of victory for you over Albany?
Well, the first thing I want to bring up with that is listening to, we have some friends out in Albany that went out to practice, and listening to their head coach yesterday talk about he is offended that Dino called this Albany's Super Bowl. He said it's not even close to that. It's football. We're going out there to, you know, to play and hopefully win. So they're a little bit, you know, to clean it up, they're a little bit sore about that statement. So
bulletin board material, right?
Yeah, I mean they're ticked off. You know, he thinks that they are prepared because they went out to North Dakota State and played in their dome. This is not going to be the same dome, but how many people are going to be out there too? I mean, there wasn't a big crowd for Rutgers. I'm guessing it'll be a smaller crowd for this weekend's game. So they're not coming in and just planning on rolling over. They're going to, I think, give Syracuse everything they have and then some. So there's that. As for Syracuse, I think if you don't win this game fairly easily by at least, I guess I'm going to say if they don't win by 30, I would be a little bit concerned. Even though I just said Albany's going to come in there and play as hard as they can, I don't think Albany has, you know, what Dino says that an FCS team has to have to win games like this. They don't have an NFL quarterback. I don't think they have an NFL defensive player. So if they put up a fight and they stay within 30 points of Syracuse, I think that's a win for Albany and that's a concern for Syracuse.
Mark Larson, sports director of Spectrum News, here with us on Exit 31, ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. And Mark, last one for you. You just mentioned the fact that they don't have an NFL quarterback. Well, a team that does have an NFL quarterback, Green Bay Packers. We know your mom loves a Mr. Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. What is she saying about his performance this weekend?
Yeah, she's, you know what? Honestly, my mom is like in Bulgaria right now. She's on a boat somewhere with my sister. So I didn't get invited to that girl's
trip.
Wow. So hopefully she hasn't seen any highlights. And when she gets back, he'll have his head out of his, you know, where. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe he's focusing too much on the Jeopardy thing. Maybe he's got to, get back to football fundamentals. But that was an ugly performance by the entire Packer team. So, I suspect if that continues, people are going to be like, okay, Aaron, you want it out? That's fine.
Yeah.
Go ahead and make that happen.
Hope he doesn't mail it in for the rest of the year. I mean, you're coming off an NFC conference appearance. You're coming off an MVP award. It's not the way you want to leave Green Bay. Mark, thank you so much for the time, as always. It's Mark Larson with Spectrum Sports. It's ESPN Radio, Exit 31. We're at QSportsTalk.com. We have Jason Payne. Jason Payne. I could have said Jacob Bourne, too.
Yeah.
Jacob Payne joining us next.
This is Exit 31 with Rain and WKTV Sports Director Spencer Davidson on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Jacob Payne joining us on the phone lines. He's an intern here and also been writing for Syracuse at SI. And Jake,
part-timer now, technically co-worker now.
Part-timer? Yeah. All right, very nice, very nice. Moving up the chain.
Can I just, did anybody else at QSportsTalk.com hear Nick Ailes whisper that I was a boomer with my attempt to take a picture of the awards that we received that Glue Guy brought back and that we posted or that I placed on the desk so that the cameras could see that?
Did you think that was him?
I was struggling with.
Did you think that was him?
Was that you?
That was me.
You called me a boomer.
Man, boomer, you're hearing.
I also called you a boomer.
Oh, did you? So, okay, yeah. You're accurate.
Got called boomer twice.
I must have had my headphones on at that point.
You are both technically.
I was going to take the fall for you, but.
That's okay. No, you know what? I own up to what I say. I own up to what I say, do I not?
I got double boomered.
Yeah, you got double boomered.
All right,
yeah.
Well, Syracuse lost to Rutgers. Jacob Payne's on the phone. I interrupted Spencer Davidson. Bring it.
Well, I just wanted your initial impressions, of that game. Obviously, the offense you know, struggled mightily. The defense looked pretty good, though. So kind of where are you at with being optimistic, pessimistic, you know, coming off of that loss?
About the offense. I don't know how you could say anything negative about the defense. Mm-hmm. That defense absolutely played good enough to win. I mean, you hold a team to less than 200 yards of offense in four quarters of football, you should probably win 9 games out of 10. And they were just dealt terrible field position. It seemed like every time Rutgers touched the ball, they were in plus territory. When your offense can barely move the ball downfield and when you have maybe one of the worst special teams performances I've ever seen, I mean, you just have no hope. You have no chance.
Yep.
So despite all that, I mean, you had a blocked punt and you had a shanked punt that put Rutgers in prime position to score. And each time following those mishaps, they walked away not scoring a point, not a touchdown, not a field goal. They got nothing. That defense was spectacular. The offense is something different entirely. It is an offense that is obviously having an identity crisis when it seems so clear to me that your identity is running the football. And specifically, it's giving Sean Tucker and letting him run the football. So Sean, he only carried the ball 13 times, had 54 yards, but that's a 4.2-yard average. So, guys, if you're running 4.2 yards on first down, you're running 4.2 yards on second down, what do you need to get on third down?
Less than 2 yards, my friend. You're absolutely right.
Less than 2 yards. Less than 2 yards. That seems pretty manageable.
Yep.
And yet, for some reason, after he got that 24-yard touchdown run, probably the best offensive play of the day, he doesn't get another carry. Hmm. I can't explain that. It's inexplicable. To me, that is probably more upsetting than not knowing who your quarterback is after a full uninterrupted offseason, a full training camp, and two regular season games.
No, and I think that's
so. There are a lot of things happening with that offense.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. Jacob Payne is with us here on ESPN Radio, Next at 31, QSportsTalk.com, of course. So, all right, grade out Tony White. A, B, C, D. What do you give him based off the first couple of games?
A.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Sterling Gilbert, offensive coordinator. What's your grade on him?
You know, does he have full autonomy of that offense? I know he's the offensive coordinator. I see Dino talking into that headset pretty frequently pre-snap. I definitely put a majority of the blame at the feet of this coaching staff. You know, a lot of people have opinions on who they think the quarterback should be. I think if you look at it right now, Tommy DeVito has played better than Garrett Schrader, but only slightly. And considering he's been in this system since 2017, for him to be barely better, I think is an indictment. And if you haven't won the job in year four, then you might as well have lost the job. And I think he had the best throws of the day. I think he had some of the worst throws too. But I think regardless, when the play calling isn't giving you Sean Tucker to kind of take some of the pressure off you, I don't care how long you've been in the system. I don't care who's behind center. No quarterback is going to succeed unless you have Sean Tucker consistently to take some of that pressure off of you.
Looking ahead now to Albany this weekend, you know, one of those games where almost like a darned if you do, darned if you don't game. You win, it's like, ah, so what? You lose, it's the world is crashing down. So, but what do you think has to happen this weekend for this Syracuse team for there to be any type of positive to take out of this moving forward where you're like, all right, you know, they made some strides? Or is that not even possible this weekend?
I don't think it's possible. I think, even, like I've heard people say, this has to be a blowout. This has to be a 30-point win. I certainly think the game should be over at halftime. You should be able to flip around in the second half and not worry about the outcome during this game. But, yeah, it's just a weird game. I think this is probably your last opportunity for Dino Babers to figure out in-game who he wants to be the starting quarterback. So I think you can come in with a plan and say, okay, I think DeVito's going to get the first three, Schrader's going to get the next three, then sort of alternate from there. I think you can do that without any worry about, coughing this game up. But I don't think you're going to feel great about this team until it has an identity, until it has a starting quarterback. And that guy is, look, no matter who the quarterback is, I don't think you're going to win any games because of your quarterback. It's going to be because of your defense, and it's going to be because of Sean Tucker. But I don't think you're going to feel good until you, A, know who the starter is, and B, can see that he can deliver without making any costly mistakes.
Well, it's obvious that the receiving core headed by Taj Harris is not aligned with Tommy or whoever's throwing the football. It's just not a precise passing game right now. But then, and we've talked about this over the past couple of days, there were instances where Luke Benson was wide open and they did not throw him the football. We know that's the way it is with Dino Babers. Even before Sterling Gilbert came in as the offensive coordinator, they just don't use tight ends a lot. So then I look at QSportsTalk.com, and a great point by frequent contributor CBW. Would it be wrong to think that Dino's offensive schemes might only work against MAC-level defensive talent? It's fair to ask the question, right? Because there's not anything there. I haven't seen anything there. You excuse the Albany game. They're going to put up points against them. But I guess on teams that are supposed to be on their level, right? It doesn't seem like the playing field is even in that regard. Jake, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if you just came into Syracuse football games fresh, you don't know anything about the team, you don't know anything about the roster, you would ask, like, do they have tight ends? I mean, you might look up the roster and see Luke Benson's name with the letters T-E next to it, but you wouldn't know from watching any football games. Honestly, this football team's identity, it was a one score. It was tied 0-0 throughout the entire first half. When Rutgers scores, you go back and you score the very next drive. This was a close game through three quarters. And for whatever reason, they completely go away from the run. They act like they are an air raid offense. They are trying to connect on all of these deep passes down the field. It's got to be the run game, and it's got to be short passes. You got to dump it out to running backs. I want to see Taj Harris running slants instead of always running 40, 50 yards downfield. And yes, if you can do that and get yourself in third and short situations, you need to be looking for the tight end. So, no, what we've seen from the offense and the scheme has not worked.
Yeah, MRI 901, championship defense, Pop Warner offense, as I'm reading the QSportsTalk.com chat. Kevin from Liverpool, you know, great point. It's the type of game against Albany that it should be so decisively in Syracuse's favor that at halftime you could turn it off because you just know the outcome.
Yeah.
And you have nothing to worry about. And I totally get what you're saying there. That's totally fair. Jacob, as always, thank you for the time and the observations on Syracuse football. Plan on doing it again with you next Wednesday. It's ESPN Radio, Exit 31. And yeah, we're at QSportsTalk.com. We'll join you there during a quick break. And then when we're back, the last thing we'll say today.
This is Exit 31. Here is Rain Stradamus and Nostra Davidson on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. Here's the last thing we'll say today.
It is my understanding you will be without Brent X tonight and on the block. So we just got a couple minutes here for the last thing that we'll say today. We're having a conversation. You heard it at QSportsTalk.com. And my guy CBW and a few others throwing in some comments. We were discussing Joey Gallo. Am I back on board with him because he got three home runs in his last four games? I asked Nick Ailes, who's in studio with us, along with Spencer Davidson and I'm Rain, what I'm doing with this guy. What's the acceptable batting average? He's a true three outcome guy. On base percentage, Nick, we agreed on a 370, 380 range because if he hits his home runs, we all know he's excellent in the outfield. If he hits 210, I think, and I said to Spencer before we even went on the air, I want Joey Gallo to get tweaked just enough. And I understand that also Joey Gallo has made comments to the press that he knows who he is and this is who he is. This is what makes him successful. But I want 230 out of the guy. Give me 225, 230. Take it up a little bit. You're a Major League Baseball player. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I would probably say you know, 245 around there would be more comfortable for me.
Up until 10 days ago, he was hitting 195 as a Yankee.
Yeah, I mean, that would, you know, 245, I mean, that would be, you know, light years ahead. And especially if his on-base percentage is higher. I mean, the thing is he does walk. You've had him before Aaron Judge, you know, the last few games. So you get him on base. You know, I mean, you saw it the other day with Judge hitting yesterday, or 2 days ago against the Twins, with Judge hitting that three-run homer.
I got a giggle when Nick Ailes brought up, what are you doing with Aaron Hicks next year? I'm like, oh, God. Can you trade him? Can somebody, you pay half of it, get rid of him?
Yep.
And you gave us the numbers. He barely plays.
Yeah.
And he's in his 30s. It's not going to be a pretty remaining 4 years or so on the contract for Aaron Hicks, that's for sure.
No, the last 3 years, he's combined for, let's see, like 110 and then 30, so like 140. So over the last 3 years, he hasn't even played a full 162-game season combined.
I am not on board with him at all. The second half resurges by Brett Gardner. I'd rather have another year of Brett Gardner, I think, than wonder about Aaron Hicks. Anybody can get hurt. But generally, the Gardy party, he's durable, he's tough, he gets it done. I think it's time to say goodnight. We'll stop there because we could go on about the Yankees all evening, but we'll be back to bring it back at 6 o'clock with Yankees on Deck right here on ESPN Radio. Glue Guy will be back to join me. Have a great rest of your afternoon.